Amen. Tonight we shall be looking very quickly at the scriptures in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in verse 9 and 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. Paul the apostle speaking saying, he said, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle. Because I persecuted the church of God, because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." The Lord bless his word in Jesus' precious name. The subject is riding on the wings of grace, and I'm speaking specifically on the subject, the goodness of God's grace. The goodness of God's grace. And before I go far, just to let you know, while I was here today, I received good news from home. The auditorium that is in construction, like you said, 100,000-seater, we had been trying to lift, to work on the roof. The roof is a dome roof. The manufacturers of the roof from America told us they are the foremost manufacturer of dome roofs in the world. They said that the largest roof, dome roof they did was 11 years ago in Mexico, and this has become the largest globally. Dome roof. Largest. And the effort at lifting, there was a little technical problem with the hoisting tower, what is to take it up. And that had a challenge about a month ago, but today they successfully took the roof from the ground, and the dome is going up. And so I'm excited to let you know that very soon many of us will be there to celebrate the opening.
Give the Lord a big shout of praise. And I believe that someone here, very soon before this weekend program is over, you shall be having some good news. Good news from home, good news in ministry, good news in business, good news in every agenda you lay your hands on. Shout the loudest, amen. Look at your number, say, get ready. You shall hear some good news in this conference in Jesus' precious name.
I felt I should let you know, and I'm sure that Daddy Apostle, when it is being opened, you will invite you to come. Pastor George, you bring him. God's servant, Bishop David Oyedepo, will be on ground. Pastor Iya Adeboye will be on ground. Dr. Maurice Cerullo will be on ground. All for the opening, among others. And you will be there. The goodness of God's grace. We are looking at the subject in three dimensions. First, we want to understand the meaning of grace. Secondly, we like to understand the products of grace. And thirdly, we are going to be understanding the secrets of grace. Understanding what grace means. Understanding the products of grace. And then understanding the doorway or the secrets of grace. What is grace all about? The grace of God is one of the most important subjects in Scripture. And yet, one of the most misunderstood subjects in Scripture. For two reasons. First of all, it is the grace of God that saves us. And secondly, it is the grace of God that causes us to stand. So we are saved by grace. According to Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 5, and Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 8, we are saved by grace, and then we stand by grace. So it is not possible to be saved without grace. And it is not possible to stand without grace. So that makes grace very critical. Going forward, therefore, what is grace? I'm going to define grace in four ways. First, God's grace can be defined as the satisfaction of the saint through the sacrifice of the Christ. The satisfaction that came for the saint by the sacrifice of the Christ.
In early times, they told us that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. It is the satisfaction that came for the saint because Jesus sacrificed himself on Calvary. It is what we don't need to suffer anymore because of what he suffered on the cross. Call it the permanent wealth of the Christ, of the saint, because of the temporary waste of the Christ. He was temporarily for 3 days wasted on the cross in order for the saint, the child of God, to access the wealth or the riches of God. What is grace? Number two, grace can be defined as God's favor for the saint through Christ's labor on the cross. God's favor for the saint through Christ's labor on the cross. Grace has been defined as God's unmerited favor. The favor we stepped into because of the labor he endured. The favor we stepped into because of the labor he endured. Number three, that is, and again, it means that grace is God's favor for the saint that is beyond every labor of the flesh. It is the favor that God gives us access to that we could never have accessed by our labors. I believe there is somebody hearing me here tonight that is about to step into a dimension of favor that is going to be beyond your labor as a result of the grace of God. If you are that one, you will say a louder amen. If you are that one, you say the loudest amen. Grace can be defined, number three, as God's ability in the place of man's inability. God's ability in the place of man's inability. You can define it again as God's capability in the place of man's incapability. God's grace helps us to do what we are not able to do in our strength. God's grace helps us to do what we couldn't have done in our flesh. God's grace helps us to stand where would have sank. God's grace helps us to have a voice where we would have lost our voice. God's ability in the place of man's inability. Is God speaking to somebody here at all? How many of you believe that there are things that only God could have done? How many of us believe that there are times where we need God to do for us what our flesh could not do? I believe that somebody is stepping into that realm tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Number four, grace. I define grace number four as God's grace for man's ease. When a person has been greased for ease, if you've gone to the automobile mechanic before, you know what grease is all about. Where God greases or oils your life, pours oil on your life in order for your life's journey to be easy. Beloved brothers and sisters, it is grace that is the secret of ease. If it is going to be easy in life, if it is going to be easy in ministry, if it is going to be easy in destiny, if it is going to be easy in marriage, grace is secret of ease. And I see that coming for somebody in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Lift up your right and say, Father, I connect tonight with the grace for ease. I connect tonight with the grace for ease. I refuse to be a struggler. I refuse to be a sweater in life. In the name of Jesus, I connect with the favor that grace brings. I connect with the favor that grace brings. I connect that favor tonight in the name of Jesus. Say after me, say in the name of Jesus. I resist the realm of effortful labor. I reduce that realm. I receive the grace right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Anybody receiving that, say louder, amen. And now we're going to look at the products of grace, and I'm going to look at about 7 or 8 of them very, very quickly. When a person carries grace, what happens to that person? We've seen the definition. Paul the Apostle said, by the grace of God, I am what I am.
We know from scripture that Paul the Apostle was one of the greatest persons that ever lived. After Jesus Christ in the New Testament, the next person you will be talking about is Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle single-handedly wrote half of the New Testament. He said, anything you know Paul to be, the summary is grace. If there is anything you have seen in my life, the summary is grace. And so I say it like this, number one, God's grace is supernatural processor unto greatness. It supernaturally processes a person unto greatness. It's a supernatural processor unto greatness. Saying it in another way, it is grace that makes great. Anywhere greatness is located, grace is behind it. It is not possible to carry grace and be small. It is not possible to carry grace and be little. It doesn't matter where you have come from. Your family may be little. Your educational level may be little. Whatever you are, your background may be little. But where grace is on ground, a man, a woman is processed. A ministry is processed unto greatness. Am I speaking to somebody here? When you look at men and women that we have seen in history, men like John Wesley, Charles Wesley, men like Smith Wigglesworth, men, women, and others, Semple McPherson of the First Square Gospel Church, and you look at people like Charles Spurgeon and people in contemporary times like Pastor Adeboye, like Bishop David Oyedepo, and several of these people, the secret is called grace. Grace attacks littleness. Grace attacks smallness. I am here to announce to somebody, I am not just prophesying. People are here. There are people who left Africa longest time, but you keep on seeing yourself in Africa almost every night, and you are just dreaming and finding yourself back where you left so many years ago. There are people here, the demons and the deities of your father's house, of your lineage, is still fighting you in this country. I am here to announce to you, by the grace I came here with, the spell of littleness is over. The spell of smallness is over. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. If you are saying amen, shout it at the top of your voice. Every satanic, demonic embargo that has been placed on your life, placed on your family, placed on your destiny, that has limited who you are and what you are meant to be, today I came to announce that embargo is lifted. That embargo is lifted. Shout the loudest amen. Shout the loudest amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. When grace arrives, embargoes are lifted. Littleness disappears. What God is helping us to do, there is not one person in our whole lineage that has ever neared there. Not one person in our whole state. Not one person in the whole of the North Central. It's an embargo. My brother is a major general, the same mother. He's also a servant of the Lord in our ministry. From the whole of our clan, nobody has ever crossed Brigadier General. If they reach, they'll retire them. If they reach, they'll retire them. One was promoted Major General the same day and retired the same day. He was not permitted to hang the rank because of satanic embargo. He was not permitted to enjoy that rank. And then here was coming my brother and we're looking at it and say, look, you will be the first. If nobody has ever crossed that realm, you will be the first. Yago baga daga laga yadada. Who is he that saith it and it cometh to pass when the Lord commanded it not? The Bible says God frustrates the tokens of liars. He maketh diviner smart. He disappoints the devices of the crafty, and their hands shall not perform their enterprise. The embargo was lifted. He got promoted. Now he's the director of defense intelligence in the whole of the country of Nigeria. speaking every day almost on the television. Embargo lifted because grace arrived. I am here to announce to somebody, by the grace with which I preached, where nobody in your family has ever reached in ministry, where nobody has reached financially, where nobody has reached in your career, you shall be the first to reach there. You shall be the first to reach there. You shall be the first to reach there. Somebody shout grace 5 times. Hey! Help me tell somebody by your side. Tell them, get ready for unusual grace. Get ready for unusual grace that is going to make you great. Unusual grace. Unusual grace. Unusual grace that is going to make you great. Shout the loudest amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. So grace is supernatural processor unto greatness. Number two, grace is, God's grace is supernatural enablement unto profitability. Supernatural enablement. He said, the grace which was bestowed upon me made it impossible for me to labor in vain. He said the grace was not in vain. It's supernatural enablement unto profitability. It forbids labor in vain. It forbids empty-handed pursuit. Grace forbids aimless losses. Is God speaking to somebody here? He said, by this grace that was bestowed on me, I didn't labor in vain. We have a lot of people who have diverted rewards. Am I communicating at all? Labor in vain. Mystery of losses. Am I speaking to anybody at all? And everybody can confirm that you are laboring, but nothing to show. That devil is a liar. That devil is a liar. Many years ago, I met a man. And please take your seat. The man had a BSc in microbiology. In biochemistry, an MSc in microbiology, a PhD in virology. He was languishing away in a civil service ministry on level 9. I looked at him, biochemistry, microbiology, virology. This would be like 15 years ago. And he was not a senior staff, middle-level staff of a federal civil service operation, just barely surviving. I looked at him straight in the eye. I said, are these your qualifications? It is your type that should be at the Johns Hopkins University researching for HIV vaccination. You should be in the center of HIV research. Anywhere. With this lineup of qualifications, why are you wasting away here? And I mentioned the university. Not up to a few months, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, he returned back to me and said, I have been invited to Johns Hopkins University. For postdoctoral fellowship in virology specializing in HIV research. Now, I mentioned the exact place I said he was meant to be. He went there. Rest of it is history. That catapulted him up. And then he took some others from Nigeria with him, including one of the doctors who were in school together. Because the word came that you shouldn't be at this level. Hear me, beloved brothers and sisters. Anyone here who is wrongly positioned, wrongly placed, by the grace with which I preach, your level is changing today. You are saying amen, say it like a believer. You are saying amen, say it like a believer. Shout it like a believer. Stretch your hands and say in the name of Jesus, I believe in profitability. In the name of Jesus, no losses, no vain labor. My hands shall produce results in the name of Jesus. By grace, Shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat. Pastor, you are not meant to just sweat for nothing. Every labor there is profit. Now I'm going to say the third thing, and it is connected to the second. Grace, God's grace, is supernatural enablement unto profitability. Number three, God's grace is supernatural energizer for impact. Is supernatural energizer for impact. He said, I labored more than they all. I outworked them. Grace is an energizer. The grace of God makes you to handle more tasks in the physical than your physical size can account for. The grace of God makes you to handle more tasks in the physical than your muscle can account for, than your weight can account for. The grace of God gives you ability you cannot account for. Let me say this now. The grace of God makes one man to be doing the work of 100 men with ease. What 100 men are doing and sweating, one man is doing and smiling by grace. The grace of God makes one man to be equal to the capacity of 10,000 men. You don't understand what I'm talking about. What makes the aircraft to fly is engine capacity. It has capacity multiplied so many times, so it is impossible for it to remain on the ground. It just takes off because of capacity. Someone say grace. How many of you know that there are men that are more than just one man? By capacity. Somebody say capacity. How many of you know there are men that are equal to nations? When Jacob was changed from Jacob to Israel, he was changed from being an individual to becoming a nation. Because Jacob is the name of a person, and Israel is the name of a nation. Somebody say capacity enlargement. I'm not just preaching this thing tonight, but something is going to drop on someone. And it's going to shock you what God is about to do. Now, take your seat. When Jesus Christ appeared, the angel appeared to Mary and said that Jesus was resurrected. He said, go and tell his apostles and Peter. Mark 16:7. Go and tell his apostles and Peter that he is risen. He should have said, go and tell his apostles. Because Peter was also an apostle. Go and tell his apostles that he is risen. He said, go and tell his apostles and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. In other words, Peter was too heavy to be included. Yeah. You couldn't count people one by one and count Peter as one. No. If you were to put a scale, Peter will weigh on one scale, and then the other apostles will be on the other scale. So he can't say go and tell all the apostles. In fact, if he wanted to mention Peter's name, he could have said go and tell his apostles, including Peter. But he said go and tell his apostles, disciples, and that is, here are the disciples, and here is Peter. I see a Peter coming out of here. That amen is so paralyzed. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. Lift your hand, say in the name of Jesus, I am experiencing capacity enlargement because of grace, energy for work, and energy for results. Because of grace, I am experiencing it now. Take your seat. I'll give you two more examples. When David's men, Joab, went into battle with the men of Saul. They fight and shoot between Abner and Joab. Some people died. And they were given an account. Now, there were three dangerous men that David had. They all were the same mother, the sons of Zeruiah, David's sister, Joab, Asahel, and Abishai. They had the same mother. Asahel was the junior. They were very dangerous men. They could fight. Suddenly, Asahel began to engage Abner, the commander-in-chief of Saul's army. And Abner said, "Don't fight me. Look for some junior person to fight. I am not your level." But Asahel refused until Abner killed him in battle. And there was such a sorrow. And they began to count. Say, how many people died? They said, 3,000 people died in Saul's camp. And in David's camp, 19 men and Asahel. 2 Samuel chapter 18 verse. 2 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30. 2 Samuel, and Joab turned from following Abner. And when he had gathered all the people together, they lacked of David's servant 19 men. They could have said 20 men, including Asahel. But they said 19 men. That is, Asahel cannot be counted inside the 19. It was too heavy to be inside. you cannot say 19 men including us. That is, you reduced him, you lowered his capacity, you downgraded him. The only way to say it is Asahel and 19 men. So Asahel was equal to 19 men minimum. That's what I'm talking about. That the grace of God will give you the result of night. That is, there are some of us here. By the time God finishes with you, if everybody in your community put their results together, it will not be up to what God will do through you alone. Your energy will be shocking to your world. Shout the loudest, amen. Shout the loudest, amen.
Take your seat. Take your seat. You know,
and then, when David was going to war, and the brothers of Goliath wanted to engage David, the men of David said, "Sir, you have taught us to fight. Don't go to war again, so that you don't quench the light of Israel. You are light. If they kill you, light disappeared." And so, he said, if 10 of us die, it is nothing. If 100 of us, you just be in the city and pray for us from there. Supply your strategy from there. Because only you are equal to 10,000 of us. That was 2 Samuel chapter 18 verse 3. Say, you are worth more than 10,000 of us. He said, but the people answered, "Thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not care for us. Neither if half of us die, will they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000. David, you are not a person. You are 10,000 people. David, if you die, they won't say a person died. They will say 10,000 died. David, if you die, it is not a person that died. It is 10,000 people that died. So please go back to the city and remain there. Let's deal with the battle. That is called capacity, energy. Mahoshata papa. Everybody who is a victim of weakness, a victim of lethargy, a victim of retrogressive oppression, today that challenge is over forever. It is over forever. Receive energy. Receive energy. Receive energy. Shout the Lord and say amen.
Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Energy. I live here and I arrive home and go in straight to preach 6 services on Sunday morning. And then
Monday night, divine encounter. Tuesday morning, healing and deliverance service. Tuesday evening, divine encounter. Wednesday evening, communion service. Two services in the evening. Thursday, another one. Then Friday, worship and wonders night from night till morning. And then we'll have a minister's conference on Thursday. Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning. And then we hit service again on Sunday, six services. And it's just going on, and somebody's looking at you and wondering, what is happening? It's called grace. Even if you were a soldier man, you faint. Even if you were a military man, you expire. Energy. And it takes energy to fulfill destiny. Am I speaking to somebody here? I mean, you need energy to accomplish your destiny. If your energy is below your destiny, you end in captivity. You need energy. You need energy. You need capacity. We need resilience. You need the capacity to wear out resistance. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. So God's grace is supernatural energizer for impact number four. God's grace, I have 12 minutes by the time. God's grace is supernatural fertilizer of productivity. They sound alike, but they are different. He said, I labored more abundantly. The word I'm picking on there is the word abundantly. It's supernatural fertilizer for productivity. You know how they apply fertilizer on crops and on plants, and it makes them to grow unusually. Supernatural fertilizer for productivity. It is grace that fertilizes effort to produce abundantly. In case you don't understand, it means you take one step and you get the result of 100 steps. You took a step. When others took the same step, they got the result that one step could give. You took one step, God amplified your footsteps and gave you the returns of 100 steps. Until people are saying, what is he preaching that we are not preaching? What is he selling that we are not selling? What is he doing that we are not doing? What is he reading that we are not reading? How is he doing it that we are not doing it? And then God will say, it is not about what you are doing. It is about the grace at work. That is why the Bible said, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God who showeth mercy. The race is not for the swift. The battle is not for the strong. Riches is not for men of skill. It's about time and chance happeneth to all. Somebody scream grace. Shout it louder. Shout grace. Shout it at the top of my voice. Say grace. I've seen people who have done 40 days dry fasting, no food for 40 days. No result. If it was left for fasting, there are some who wouldn't have any place in ministry at all because they cannot fast beyond 6 o'clock in the evening. Are you following what I'm saying? Not of him that willeth or runneth, but of God who showeth. It's called grace. He amplifies your footsteps. He amplifies your effort so that you can return back and say, God, this was not my effort. I wasn't the reason why I got this result. I cannot say I am the one who made this happen. This is not me. It is God. Somebody shout grace. Anybody about to express grace, shout the loudest grace. At the top of your voice, shout grace. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. One day, okay, I just told you about my schedule. One day, the schedule became so unbelievable. And I went to preach somewhere in one of the states in Nigeria. So I think I slept a bit late and was very, very tired. And then slept till morning. Instead of waking up in the night to pray for the early morning meeting I had, I slept until it was time to go for the meeting. And I woke up. Wow. Is this the time? And it's meeting. Wow. Just hurriedly. Just showered everything. And then entered the car. And I was writing the message inside the car. I said, Lord, if you have ever helped me at any time, I need your help now. It's the kind of thing that you don't even know what to do or what. And I just appeared in the meeting. And then I saw results that if I had prayed for 7 hours and fasted for 3 days, I may not have seen. All manner of deaf ears, all manner of miracles happening instantaneously. And on my way back to the hotel in the car, I asked God, I said, what just happened? So my preparation couldn't account for this. I had no preparation at all. And God told me, and I will never forget. He said, your helplessness provokes my almightiness. Your helplessness. Every time you are helpless, I am mighty. Your helplessness provokes, it attracts my almightiness. I become mighty. I just overdo it. When you are just totally helpless and you say, I am nothing, I can do nothing, I am able to do nothing. Is there anybody like that here? Get ready, because my God and your God is about to take you by surprise. It's about to take you by surprise. You are saying amen, shout the loudest. Amen. That is God's grace. Number five, quickly. God's grace is supernatural vehicle for speed. For speed. The first we said it was a supernatural processor unto greatness. And then a supernatural enablement unto profitability. And then a supernatural energizer for impact. And then supernatural fertilizer for productivity. And now number five, God's grace is supernatural vehicle for speed. An engraced man does not move at normal speed. You see what Paul the apostle said? I am not qualified to be an apostle. I'm the least of all men because I persecuted the church of God. But see where I am. By the grace of God, I am who I am. You see, and I labored more abundantly than they all, including Peter. I walked more than him. All of them who were there before me, by grace I overtook them. You know that Paul wasn't there when Jesus was multiplying bread, when Jesus was casting devils out, Paul was nowhere to be found. Paul wasn't there when he was crucified, when he was buried, when he resurrected. Paul was nowhere to be found. In fact, he had gone to heaven yet. Paul was not yet saved. On the road to Damascus on one of his persecution journeys, that was when he got saved. And then Paul now returns back to begin to explain to Peter what happened on the cross. You don't understand what I'm talking about. He was explaining to them what they witnessed that they did not understand. You were there when he was crucified, but this was the meaning. When he resurrected, when he went to the grave, this was what happened there. This was what happened there. As he ascended, this is the meaning. When he went to heaven, he sat down at the right hand. He was explaining to them what they witnessed that they did not understand. They were there, but did not know what was going on. He was not there, but he was informed about everything when he came. Grace makes the late comer becomes a frontliner. And I am not encouraging late coming to church. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not late coming to church. That is to say, maybe you didn't get saved on time. Or maybe your age was against you. Or something, and in the physical, everybody's looking as if this man is at the back. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. Somebody shout out grace 7 times. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It will drop on you. We don't preach for nothing. By the mercies of God, when we preach healing, God heals people. When we preach supernatural supplies, people experience it. When we preach grace, people step into grace. You are about to step into a dimension of grace that will give you the speed of the overtaker. That will give you the speed of the overtaker. That will take you from the back and catapult you to the front. Shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat. Shout that. I discovered that grace is superior to age. Age is good. And we thank God for those who age with grace. But those who have been in church for 20 years without grace, somebody who came to church with only 1 year or 2 years, serious with God, with grace, can be catapulted from the past back to the front. Grace can make a man to accomplish in 1 day what others need a whole year. Grace can make a person to accomplish in a year what others need a whole lifetime. Grace can make a person achieve in a lifetime what if you gave others 100 lifetimes? They couldn't. It's called grace. Just from the background to the forefront, by grace. From obscurity to notoriety, by grace. Is God speaking to somebody here? You are getting ready for that. Say a loud amen. Say the loudest amen. Lift your right and say, Father, I apply for grace. I apply for this grace. I apply for this grace. The kind of grace on Paul the Apostle. I apply for this grace and I receive it now. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Has God spoken to somebody tonight? So don't boast about talent. Let's celebrate grace. Let's not over boast about education and qualifications. Let's celebrate help from above. Let's celebrate grace. A tadpole that is graced will defeat a shark without grace. Hallelujah. And fight number six. Grace. God's grace is supernatural depot for gifts and potentials. Supernatural depot. When grace arrives, a depot has been opened. Grace releases in out of man multidimensional giftings. Until people begin to wonder, what is this man? A prophet? An apostle? A teacher? A pastor? An administrator? Whatever. Grace is the secret of ambidextrosity. You see, the Bible says the sons of Benjamin, they could hold stones with left and right. Multifaceted operation. All weather personality. Hallelujah. Someone say amen. Who was the one who told us about the word of knowledge and word of wisdom and discerning of spirit? Not Peter. Not John. He told us of the gifts of healing, the working of miracles, the miracle working faith. He explained the giftings of prophecy, diversities of tongues, interpretation of tongues. He told us of the office of the apostle, the office of the prophet, the office of the evangelist, the office of the pastor, the office of the teacher. You won't see it in any other person's writing. And you cannot explain what you have not experienced. That the man literally stepped into all callings. He prophesied, he interpreted tongues, he spoke tongues. He operated word of knowledge, word of wisdom, design of spirit, gifts of healing, working on miracles, gifts of faith. He was an apostle, he was a prophet. A prophet that went to heaven bodily. See, I knew a man in Christ.
about 14 years ago. Whether in the body or out of the body, I can't tell, but I know I was there. And I heard things that was not allowed for man to speak. He was talking about himself. That is, he went to heaven with some revelations because people were not mature to receive it. That was Paul there. He entered everything and he told us the summary is grace. Anything you know I am, any gift you saw me operate, grace. Whatever manifestation you saw in me is summarized in grace. That is a real grace. Not the grace that licenses people to live anyhow. That is the real grace. I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about. And that's the real grace. That is the scriptural grace. That is the, it's a profitable grace. It's a positive grace. And that's the last point I'm going to go to now. Somebody say grace 5 times. Again. 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 And again. All right, number 7. God's grace is supernatural empowerment for righteous living. Titus chapter 2 verse 11 and 12 said, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to deny ungodliness. It's supernatural empowerment for righteous living. Grace gives us the capacity to say no to ungodliness. The capacity to do the right thing effortlessly. When people run out of grace, they miss it, they mess up. Am I communicating? Never run out of grace. Permanently apply for grace. Paul the apostle looked at them one day and he said, I have walked blamelessly, holily among you. And his secret, he said, was grace. He said, I bring my body under, lest after I preach to others, I become a castaway. That secret was grace. I declare that release upon somebody. Somebody say it louder, amen. Somebody say it louder, amen. Finally, God's grace is God's supernatural capacity to confront and conquer enemy adversities. Capacity to confront. Capacity to conquer enemy adversities. When a man is graced, he's a knot too hard for Satan to crack. Supernatural capacity to confront and to conquer enemy adversities. Paul the apostle was one such man that the enemy couldn't stop him, couldn't stand him. He didn't know what to do about him. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 29. Paul will give you some of his credentials. He said, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths often. That is, I was almost killed many times. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, if not for one that was missing. Except for one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. That is amphibious living. Inside the depth of the ocean for 24 hours without gills. And breathed inside for 24 hours and lived. He said, in journeys often, in dangers of waters, in dangers of robbers. Robbers have existed for long. In dangers of my own countrymen. In dangers of the hidden. In dangers in the city. Dangers in the wilderness. Perils in the sea. Perils among false brethren. So don't be over angry when you encounter false brethren. They didn't start today. There are people you will meet in church that are not Christians.
In weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, that is when I didn't have food and I was not fasting. In thirst, then in fasting. See, the difference, there's a difference between fasting and hunger. That is, there were times when he fasted, but there was time when it was not fasting. In cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn that? What's the scripture say? Say, despite all these things, see me. I didn't give up. I didn't give in. I didn't give way. I didn't give out. I'm there. They stoned him in Acts chapter 14 verse 20 until they dragged him out of the city as dead. Acts 14 from verse 19. They stoned him to death. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, they drew him out of the city, concluding he has died. And in ancient times, they are specialists in stoning people to death. And the Bible says, and albeit as the disciples stood round about him, nobody prayed. What he ate before, scriptural light and insight, woke him up. He stood up, he rose up, and came, said, oh, brethren, how are you all doing? What happened just now? They thought they killed me, don't mind them. Where is the next evangelism venue? Is somebody here? And he went. What Paul suffered, no mortal man could have suffered one over 1,000 of it and survived. But Paul lived. One day he said, I am in a junction between living and dying. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, 21, 22. He said, but to live is better for you, so I will remain here. I will remain here for you. I will remain here. I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with the Lord. I think that should be better. Yes. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. I am at a junction. I feel like going. I feel like staying. But for your sake, I will stay. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Verse 25. And having this confidence, I know, since it is more beneficial to you that I live, I shall live. The devil notwithstanding. That is, I am not taking permission from the spirit of death. It is concluded that I am remaining with you. Are you following me? Then see what he said when he wanted to die. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. It was his decision. I am now ready. I wasn't ready before. For I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have finished my course. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Everything God expected for me to do, I have done them. If you keep me on earth now, you waste my time. It is time for me to go, and I'm ready to go now. It's not them that will kill me. I am the one ready. And then in Philemon verse 9, the Bible said, refer to him as Paul the aged. He outlived persecution, outlived everything until he was Paul the aged. That is, persecution couldn't kill him young. He died as a martyr in old age. When it was right to go. When he was qualified to go. You don't understand what I'm talking about. That is, he told God, instead of just dying in my sleep, let them kill me so I can achieve more prize. At this age, if I die now, nobody can say I died young. But so let me not just die natural death like John the Beloved died. Let them kill me. Because let me achieve a martyr's crown in old age. That was what grace was all about. To weather the storm. To show the devil that he is a nobody. To show the devil your unstoppability, indefatigability, unfightability, irresistibility. Is somebody still sitting down? Shout the loudest amen. Amen. Stand up on your feet with a louder shout of amen. Amen. Stand up on your feet with a louder shout of amen. Amen. Every single person, please be up on your feet. Are you ready for that kind of grace I'm talking about? Shout that grace 5 times. Again. 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 Another 5 times. Shout it again. 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 And again. Remain standing up on your feet. What is the secret of grace? If you look at it, Paul told us, I am the least of the apostles. I am not qualified to be called. Number one secret is humility. The humblest of men are the most engraced. Maybe take your seat 1 minute in case you wanted to drop down. Arrogance is a grace side. You know insecticide? Insecticides kill what? Grace sides kill what? Grace. Arrogance. Pride. Haughtiness. Ostentatious living. Braggadocious existence. Peacockish nature. You understand the vocabulary? Yeah, our dad is seated here. He was here yesterday. He's here today. A ministry for donkey years. Anywhere you see pride, grace is absent. Anywhere you see anything that looks like grace in the absence of, in the presence of pride, is camouflage. It's not real. And it cannot last. Anywhere you see any man who is so peacockish, so arrogant, so braggadocious, so ostentatious, talks down on people, looks down on people, does not know the difference between his elders and seniors, and is just like that with his shoulders, any manifestation you see there is subject to an expiry date. Has no future. James chapter 4 verse 6, God resisted the proud and giveth grace. Grace is the privilege of the humble. The humbler you get, the more in grace you become. He giveth grace to the humble. Giveth grace to the humble. The limit of your humility is the limit of your grace. If you're in grace, man. Don't struggle to be known. Struggle to know. Don't struggle for publicity. Let God publicize you. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Somebody came to my office many, many years ago. We're just starting ministry, and this was the same person who told me they don't come to town. There are already enough churches in town, and was saying all manner of negative things. But we came into town. God helped us, and the work picked up in a short time and was growing very, 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 very aggressively. And the young man came into my office, and he said, Pastor, I have come to ask you, please can you tell me some secrets of church growth? I know you need to pray very well. I know the place of study of the word. I know you have to do evangelism. I know you have to do this. I know you have to do that. So I just came to you to find out if there are any other secrets. So I looked at him. I said, there is nothing more to tell you in addition to all that you have known. So go and do what you know. So I held his hand. I said, Father, thank him because he knows everything. And in Jesus' name, that man is not in ministry now. He's faded off. Last time I asked of him, almost after 17 or 18 years, faded into politics, faded out of politics. just struggling for where to live. Arrogant like a peacock. And I realized that the arrogance of a peacock can lead to the future of a vulture. Somebody can be as arrogant as a peacock today and die as a vulture. I'm telling you, something I've seen. God resisted the pride. Proud and given grace. Every time we go before God, Lord, empty me. Empty me of me. Empty me of me. Whatever is resisting my usefulness in your hands, take it off my life. Now, many of us, it is not the pride of today that is stopping us, but what will come out of us tomorrow if God should promote us. So he's saying, you are not proud now, but I see the potential. So remain where you are yet. So you are not arrogant now, but I see what you are likely to turn into if I should lift you. And in order not to send you to hell because I promoted you, remain where you are so you can make heaven. God resisted the proud. Paul said, I am not, they shouldn't call me an apostle. What a humble man. They shouldn't call me an apostle. I am the least. I'm not qualified to be called. But I give God the praise because I didn't struggle for what I am seeing. It is grace. It wasn't my prayer. Somebody say amen. Humility, and number two is helplessness. They are together. When you surrender your own abilities, you say, let's come boldly to the throne of grace and confess our helplessness. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let's come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, grace is released for the helpless. Those who are aware of their helplessness. Lord, if you don't help me, I'm gone. Lord, it's not my abilities, it's not my giftings or my talent that is going to make me succeed in this life. The ministry is not going to be successful because I am powerful. Lord, here am I. Help me. And when you combine humility with helplessness, then you are qualified for engracement. I see multiplied grace coming for somebody. If you are that one, you say louder, amen. If you are that one, you say louder, amen. If you are the person, you will stand up with a louder shout of amen. A louder shout of amen. Well, can we lift up our hands everywhere we are? Lift your hands and lift your voice and let's appreciate him. Let's honor him and let's adore him. He's faithful. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be honored, worthy to be adored. Lift your voice and lift your hands and appreciate him for grace tonight. Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Ancient of Days, Lily of the Valley, the Rose of Sharon, you are worthy, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Lord.
Do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life. Oh, do something new. Do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life. Oh, do something new. Do something new in my life. 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 Something new in my life.
Three prayers quickly. Father, I appreciate you for your word tonight. Let's go ahead and appreciate God for the word we heard tonight. Let's appreciate him. Let's appreciate God. We appreciate you. Leo Saparagadagazala. We appreciate you. We honor you. We magnify your precious name. We adore you, El Shaddai. We appreciate you tonight. We appreciate you tonight. We appreciate you tonight. We appreciate you tonight. Thank you because you are God. Thank you, Ancient of Days. Thank you, Lily of the Valley. Thank you, the Rose of Sharon. Jehovah Mekadesh. Jehovah Karenyesha. Mehosedi Lifarada Gagazaladush. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. You lift up your hands and ask God for grace. And I say, Father, I apply for grace. Unto greatness, unto profitability, grace to energize my life for impact, grace for productivity, grace for speed, grace to release my giftings and potentials, grace for righteous living, grace to confront and conquer adversities. I receive that grace now in the name of Jesus. Lift your voice and speak to God, receiving grace, making demands on grace. Speak to God. Grace, 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 multiply grace on my life, multiply grace on my life, multiply grace on my life, multiply grace on my life. Precious name. You are going to lift up your hands and say, Father,
Father,
I receive your help.
We receive your help.
To live in humility.
To live in humility.
I receive your help.
We receive your help.
To express my helplessness.
To express our helplessness.
All the time.
All the time.
Father.
Father.
I receive deliverance.
We receive deliverance.
From every trace.
From every trace.
Of pride.
Of pride.
Arrogance.
Arrogance.
Every trace.
Every trace.
Of haughtiness.
Of haughtiness.
I receive that grace.
We receive that grace.
To be totally delivered.
To be totally delivered.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I receive it now.
We receive it now.
Lift your voice and speak to God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Jesus.
Precious name.
Amen.
Lift up your hands everywhere we are. And the final prayer before I pray the general prayer.
All right, just before then. Everyone here tonight saying to me, Pastor, I need to hand over my life to Jesus. I want my sins forgiven. I want today to mark a new day for me. I want to go forward ever and backward never. I want to live for God. Anywhere you are in this sanctuary, the gallery, or everywhere you in the balcony, you are going to pray this prayer with me and say after me, Lord Jesus. That is, if you are surrendering your life to Jesus, you are asking for forgiveness for your sins, and you want today to mark a new day for you, or you want to rededicate yourself to God. You say after me, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I need you in my life. Deliver me, Lord, from the power of sin. Today, I have decided to follow you, Jesus. No turning back. Forward ever. Backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone who prayed that prayer, can I see your hand up? You prayed the prayer. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Can you quickly step forward? Let me pray with you in the front here. Quickly step forward. Let's pray. Give the Lord a clap as you come. I saw the hands at the back. I saw one in the middle. You and I thank God for coming all the way. If you are the only reason why I came all the way from Nigeria, here is most exciting. Congratulations. Congratulations. I'd like you to mean this decision. I'd like you to ensure that you remain established in God and in church. And if you have friends that are not good for you, you get far from them and get rooted in church and be committed to studying the Bible and attending fellowship right in church. And then ensure that you let those who you know that you have made a decision to live fully for Jesus Christ. And I believe it's a new day for you. Give the Lord a big clap of hand for them. One more time, place your right hand on your chest. Lay the other hand up and say this again after me and say, Lord Jesus, I come before you tonight to surrender myself to you. Deliver me, Lord, from the power of sins. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. Forward ever. Backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I pray for you tonight. I declare the hold of sin broken off your life. In Jesus' precious name. Help from above. The hold of sin broken off your life. Broken off your life. Father, I thank you for this child. I declare that total healing will come upon you. And today will mark the end of this inability. I declare that you begin to feed normally. And that you'll have no need for this nasogastric tube. In the name of Jesus, fresh life and strength from above. Father, touch the brain, touch the muscles, the nerves, the ligaments, and the tendons, and let us receive instantaneous miracle. Do surgery on this child overnight.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I declare it done.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Yes, done. It's done. Stand up on your feet. I was going to do that. Please, can we all stand up on our feet? Remain standing here, sir. We'll soon be praying for you. Can we be up standing? Lift up your right hand wherever you are. Before I came here, the Lord showed me someone with terrible ulcer condition. I feel very, very terrible and almost at the point of affecting you, eating certain things. And God is healing ulcer now. The pain in that upper chest is gone forever. And it will never return.
Amen.
If you came in with that pain, check it right now. You confirm that it is healed. You can step forward. Somebody with a shoulder condition, the Lord is healing you too. There's a shoulder that is afflicted and you're finding it difficult to
to be lifted. Just move that shoulder now and confirm that you are healed. And then let us know. Somebody with an excruciating waist condition, like a cervical condition on the lower back and affecting all the way around the waist, God is healing you. And also the knee is getting healed for somebody. And then a migraine headache, terrible perennial migraine, is also getting it. Come forward. Come forward. Yes, you can't feel what is. You can't feel what if you had a condition and you can't feel it anymore. Just step forward here. Give the Lord a big clap as they come. A big clap as they come. The devil is a liar. Stand over here. Keep clapping as they come. Keep clapping as they come. There is somebody who is having challenge with feelings in the hand, as if there's a tingling sensation or something, parasthesia on one of the hands that the Lord is healing right now. In the name of, that's right, the Lord is healing that. For how long has that been? About 3 months. How have you been feeling there? Please, can you interview him? And the Lord is healing it right now. Quickly step forward here if you are healed of one of the things that was mentioned.
Had this for 3 months now, paresthesia, numbness in his right hand. He said he traveled to Nigeria and coming back, he started experiencing.
And then the tingling sensation right there.
Yes, sir.
Shoulder, about a year now, I went to a place called Bonny. It's an island after Port Harcourt.
The river state, yes, right.
So the people that were supposed to take me, the LNG boat that was supposed to take me, I was not ready, so I had to enter a local smaller boat. So, yeah. So as I came down in Port Harcourt, I fell with my back. My shoulder from then has been hurting me badly. So I don't even sleep with pillow for about 1 year now. I don't sleep with pillow.
I see. Can you move it now and confirm it's gone?
I can move it now.
You can move it now.
Without pain.
You are moving it without pain.
That's
and what about the paresthesia, this numbness now that I was talking about?
These three fingers here, it feels normal like this one.
It feels... Are you just standing and looking like that? Hey! The Bible said, upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the sons of Jacob shall possess their possession. Every affliction you came here with is leaving you right now. It's leaving you right now. It's leaving you right now. Shout the loudest amen. I mentioned ulcer too, and if you confirm that you cannot feel that ulcer pain anymore, you also let us know that the pain in the upper chest here is gone. Give the Lord the praise. Congratulations. I'm happy for you. Just like that. I'm a medical doctor by training. What I just described here now is something that is very, very terrible to cure medically. Just something that you might just remain with it. But this is a miracle. It's a nerve condition. Something impinging on one of the back nerves and then just moving right into the hand. Give the Lord a big clap of hand. A bigger clap of hand. You may not be here with a physical sickness. Maybe there is a problem in your ministry, a problem in your marriage, a problem in your finances, a problem somewhere. I prophesy tonight is the end of that affliction. By the grace of God that is being released here tonight, tonight is the end of that affliction. In Jesus' name. Please step forward here. Yes, sir.
He was healed of that migraine headache. According to his words, he said, when you were talking about it, it was as if you were calling his name, come. And now it's gone.
And for how long has it been?
It's for a long
time. For as long as you can remember.
Incredible. And it's gone right now. Give the Lord a praise. What a few, man.
Sir, she has had osteoarthritis. She was diagnosed with osteoarthritis. They came all the way from London City today, and she was diagnosed with osteoarthritis of both the left shoulder and the two knees. She was in excruciating pains on the way coming today, and she said, as you made that declaration, all the pain in the knees are gone, and her left shoulder is...
Give the Lord a praise.
7 years, sir. 7 years.
7 years. Osteoarthritis. Degenerative bone condition, the fleece, like the bone just rubbing against each other without the lubrication. And now God healed you of osteoarthritis, so you didn't come from London in vain. Give the Lord a big clap of hands. I prophesy to you, you are not returning back the same way you came.
She also came in from London today.
Wow.
And she also had the pain in that left shoulder, the pains in the knees, and also ulcer. It's as if the meeting was just for her.
Also as well.
Yes, sir.
All gone.
All is, you can't feel any.
Somebody give the Lord a bigger clap and a shout of praise.
She's had since 1997.
Since 1997. You were lifting. Oh, you are a nurse?
As a nurse. I retired as a social worker.
You were lifting patients. Yeah.
The process of lifting patients consistently. 19
that you are colored. They will sit down, they will not help you. They want you to struggle with the lifting. So while lifting it, I just displayed it. I was asked to take steroids, I rejected it. But today,
incredible. Give the Lord a bigger clap of hand. Lift up your two hands everywhere you are. Be upstanding. Be upstanding. Anybody trying to experience grace tonight, lift the hands high up. And now, place the two hands on your head. Thank you, Master. Fresh grace. Pray for you tonight for the release of that fresh grace, that fresh health. Every limitation of your life and limitation of your past and history and destiny is over. I declare your release to fulfill God's purpose and assignment for your life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Go forth. Go forth. And be everything God wants you to be. Struggle over. Struggle to cross that level over. Move beyond the limitations of your past and the limitations of your history. In the name of Jesus. Go forth. Help. The devil is a liar. In that day, this burden is lifted from off your shoulder. This yoke from off your neck. The pressure is over. The weight on your life and the weight on your family. Power of the Holy Ghost. Leke babaraga yagadagaga. The weight is over. The weight is over. Father, I decree today that you will cause lightness. Koshata kalabababa. To come upon you. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands now everywhere you are. I prophesy upon everyone here, every form of weight, every form of pressure that is upon your shoulder, every area of life where you have been under pressure, under struggle, struggle to rise, struggle to cross a certain level. The struggle is over. 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 Lift your hands and receive what I'm about to decree. I take authority on your behalf over the territorial principalities of the United Kingdom. I take authority on your behalf over the territory principality of Newcastle and anywhere you have come from. It is written, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I command you demonic powers holding the destiny of... That's right. Lose your grip. Holding the destiny of the people. Holding the destiny of the men. Holding the destiny of the women. Holding the destiny of the children. Your yoke is broken right now. I resist every power from hell that is confronting the purpose of God in your life. Today they are under arrest. They are under arrest. They are under arrest. They are under arrest. Every power from hell confronting the purpose of God in your life, they are arrested right now. In the name of Jesus. 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 Everything that is yours, wherever the enemy has kept them, I declare they are released right now. And you leave here tonight
with a dimension of grace you have never experienced before. Lift the hands high and I'll count up to five. One, two, three. By the time I reach five, you place the hands, the two hands on your head and scream, grace, and then begin to pray in the spirit. Something will drop on you like a mantle. Where it was difficult in your academics, where you are struggling, that's right, where you have been struggling to pass that course and struggling to cross to the next level, that's right, where you have been struggling with your housing, where you have been struggling with your mortgage, you've been struggling with your employment and struggling in your place of work, where you've been struggling to pay bills, today the grace coming upon you is breaking that limit. Lift your hands, Father, let it happen. At the count of five, I declare the release of grace that will break the yoke and break the limitation. In the name of Jesus, receive it now. In the name of Jesus, one. And again, when I count up to one, two, three, four, five, the number five stands for the number of grace. You place your hands on your head and scream, grace. Then you begin to pray in the spirit. Those of you who got your healings, you can remember, return back to your seat now. Except those who came out for the altar call and the counselors. But, oh, he was healed of me as well. All right, lift the hands high. And you are not going to return back from where you came from empty-handed. Under 24 hours, the grace I preached about shall produce for you a testimony. Under 48 hours, another testimony. Under 72 hours, another testimony. Are you ready to receive that grace? Let it flow at the count of five. In the name of Jesus, one. Two. Are you ready? At the count of five, you place the hand on your head and scream grace and pray in the spirit. Five! Grace! Grace!